Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Reedy City Council meeting of Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order, and then have you stand up for the invocation by Pastor Malcolm Wright, Light of Reedy Mennonite Brethren Church, and the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilman Beck.
Let's pray together. Father, your word reminds us through the prophet Jeremiah that we are to seek the welfare of the city where you have sent us, to pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare we will find our welfare. And Father, we thank you for Reedley. We pray for Reedley. We pray that you will give our leaders wisdom. We pray, Father, for our police officers and firefighters that you will give them safety. We thank you for the abundance that you have provided to us in this rich and fertile land. And Father, may you also enable us and empower us, strengthen us to care for this city, to care for the people of this city, and Father, to be engaged in the welfare of the city. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please join the council in the pledge to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor Light and Councilman Beck. Could we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Betancourt?
Here.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Here.
Mayor Cellino?
Here. Agenda approval. Are there any additions or deletions from the agenda tonight?
There are none from staff, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Motion approved.
Second.
Been moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Tonight we have presentations, and the first one should be a proclamation presentation to Sister Lucy Casarino, and I'll turn it over to City Manager.
Yes, I specifically asked the mayor if he would give me the honor of reading this proclamation, so I'm going to go down to the dais, or to the podium there, to read the proclamation. And Sister Lucy, if you would join me. And this is a very special occasion for all of us here in Reedley, and I would say particularly Sister Lucy, and I had the great honor of sitting at her dinner table, and if you ever want to have real Italian food, you go to Sister Lucy. So, if you would bear with me, and when I get to the now therefore, I will turn it over to the mayor. Whereas Sister Lucy Casarino was born in Modica, Sicily, Italy, and received her calling at a very early age to commit herself to serving others, and in 1962 she entered the Congregation of the Divine Zeal in Rome, and by 1965 had made her first profession in Rome. And whereas Sister Lucy's devotion to educating children brought her to America in 1973 to begin her own education, which culminated in a bachelor's degree in elementary science from East Stroudsburg University, a master's degree in education from Lehigh University, and lifetime teaching and administrative credentials. And whereas her amazing journey ultimately brought her to Reedley in 1997 to begin her ministry as a leader at St. LaSalle School at the request of the late Monsignor Francis Tasey. And whereas while the journey to rekindle excellence at St. LaSalle School was arduous those first few years, Sister Lucy undertook her new calling with zeal and passion, turning the school into the beacon of excellence that it is today. And whereas Sister Lucy provides incredible vision and leadership for St. LaSalle School that has included opening a preschool to prepare younger children for success in their school experience, adding a band program to enrich the music experiences for students, updating the school's technology program with the latest computers and technology so that St. LaSalle students can compete in a global technology world, updating the curriculum of the school to provide a fresh and rigorous academic environment, and enhancing the sports program so that the school is providing a well-rounded academic experience for all students. And whereas these improvements and the continued vision Sister Lucy has for St. LaSalle School has caused the school's enrollment to bloom and grow, and each year has experienced larger enrollments, with this past year seeing the largest enrollment thus far at 327 students. And whereas the emphasis that Sister Lucy places on developing successful and well-rounded students creates a stronger community fabric, when these children become adults and root themselves in community. And whereas thousands of adults can look back on their education in gratitude for the compassion, leadership, vision, and dedication that Sister Lucy has brought to her years of service in education ministry.
Thank you. Therefore, I, Ray Salino, Mayor of City of Reedley and the Reedley City Council, hereby recognize Sister Lucy Casarino as an outstanding citizen of the City of Reedley and proclaim our deserved gratitude to Sister Lucy on her 50th anniversary of religious profession. Mm. Dated. Dated September 22nd, 2015.
Thank you very much. I'm very humbled and honored for this proclamation. I don't think I really deserve it, but I appreciate your recognition of my being here. Really has become for me a second home. Mm. When I came here from the East Coast, I said, I'm only going to stay here 5 years and go back. But I've come to love Reedley like my own place. Mm. So thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
And Mayor? Sister? Mayor, if you'd like to present her with her proclamation.
Your center stage tonight.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the second presentation is a presentation recognizing Pete Perez as a 2015 Veteran of the Year by Assembly Mayor Pereira's office. And doing the presentation is Mr. Rene Plata.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. Thank you for allowing me to present this today. If I can have Mr. Pete Perez to my side. In June of the 24th day of 2015, the California State Assembly gets to choose from the 80 assembly districts, as each district gets to choose among their great pool of veterans that all, of course, deserve to be recognized and be honored for their service to our country and state. In the 31st district this year, we were the privilege to nominate and accept Mr. Pete Perez for our 2015 Veterans of the Year Award, and which that entailed was we invited Mr. Perez and graciously come out to the Capitol and was able to be introduced into the State Assembly floor, and then also had the privilege of having lunch with many of his peers from all the other 80 districts of the Assembly chosen. And so what we wanted to make sure that we got to you was a resolution in that honor. And so I'm going to actually read a little bit of it. Whereas throughout the course of the American history, courageous men and women have taken up arms to secure and defend and maintain the core principles upon which our nation freedom depended. And Pete Perez is one such stellar individual who will be honored as the 2015 Veteran of the Year of the 31st Assembly District during our 8th Annual Veterans Recognition Luncheon held at the Sacramento Convention Center on June 24th of 2015. Whereas this special event is a celebration to honor our American vets for their patriotism and love of country and willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good, and the residents of our local area and the people of the state of California can join hands in this common purpose of gratitude and remembrance. Resolved by Assemblymember Perea that he takes the immense pleasure in expressing his sincere appreciation to Pete Perez for his dedication and duty to country and his honorable and faithful service to the United States of America and the state of California, and extends to him the special recognition of the grateful public. Members' resolution number 1491, dated this 24th day of June 2015, Assemblymember Henry T. Perea. And so thank you so much, Pete, for accepting our nomination and accepting to go out to us. So.
Thank you so much.
And then could I have Mayor come to the front so we can take it?
Oh, that's pretty. Beautiful. Mm. Nice. Mm-hmm.
You don't have all the taxpayer money.
That's neat. Wow.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Very nice.
You'll see it in the paper.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mayor.
The third presentation is Fire Prevention Week Proclamation, and I'll call Fire Chief Isaac.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for the opportunity tonight to announce and proclaim October 4th through 10th as Fire Prevention Week. Okay. Here with me tonight is Wesley Miller. Wesley Miller is a fire explorer, and he is also a fire intern who has been placed at the Reedley Fire Department through the Valley ROP program, and he'll be reading the proclamation tonight.
Oh, great.
Proclamation of the City of Reedley and acknowledgement of Fire Prevention Week, October 4th through 10th, 2015. Whereas the City of Reedley, California is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living in and visiting Reedley. And whereas fire is a serious public safety concern both locally and nationally, and homes are the locations where people are the greatest risk from fire. And whereas home fire killed 2,755 people in the United States in 2013, according to the National Fire Protection Association, and fire departments in the United States responded to 369,500 home fires. And whereas working smoke alarms cut the risk of dying in reported home fires in half. And whereas three out of five home fire deaths result from fires in properties without working smoke alarms. Mm. And whereas when smoke alarms should have operated but did not do so, it was usually because the batteries were missing, disconnected, or dead. And whereas half of home fires result from fires reported at night between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. when most people are asleep. And whereas Reedley's residents should install smoke alarms in every sleeping room outside each separate sleeping area and on every entry level of a home. And whereas Reedley's residents should install smoke alarms and alert devices that meet the needs of people who are deaf or hard of hearing. And whereas Reedley's residents who have planned and practiced a home fire escape plan are more prepared and will therefore be more likely to survive in a fire. And whereas Reedley's first responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire injuries through fire prevention and protection education. And whereas Reedley's residents are responsive to public education measures and are able to take personal steps to increase their safety from fire, especially in their own homes. And whereas in the 2015 Fire Prevention Week theme, "Hear the beep when you sleep, every bedroom needs a working smoke alarm," effectively serves to remind us that we need working smoke alarms to give us the time to get out safely.
Thank you. Therefore, I, Ray Salino, Mayor Reedley, and the Reedley City Council do here proclaim October 4th through the 10th, 2015, as Fire Prevention Week throughout the city of Reedley. And I urge all people in Reedley to install smoke alarms in every bedroom, outside each sleeping area, and on every level of home, and to support many public service activities and efforts of Reedley Fire and Emergency Services during Fire Protection Week 2015. Dated 22nd of September, 2015. Thank you very much.
Mayor.
All right.
I'd also like to take this opportunity during Fire Prevention Week. Thursday, October 8th, will be the 16th annual Reedley Fire Department Open House.
Indeed.
And we expect good things to happen that night. We expect a good crowd. It should be pleasant, like it usually is. So we will give you some flyers just to remind you.
All right. Thank you, Chief.
Okay, I will give them the proclamation. Thank you.
Just give it to the Chief. Thank you, Chief. That was a great presentation.
Chief, I
apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, going into the next item is public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the council jurisdictions and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It's a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns and complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. So at this time, is there any public comment? Yes, sir. If you'd come up to the podium, please.
Council, Mayor. My name is Jason Rivard. I am here today representing Legacy Lighting. We're a electrical contractor from your neighbors, Fresno, California, and we focus on energy conservation, solar and LED lighting specifically. I'm here tonight to share some thoughts and some of our experiences with you regarding PACE financing. PACE financing is financing that enables a homeowner or a business owner to be able to finance a solar or LED project, and in fact even water-saving projects, using the equity in their home as the main factor and the deciding factor in the loan. So just to jump right into this, we have helped a lot of families and businesses save energy in the Central Valley all over. And we've helped them to decrease their carbon footprint as well, which is extremely important to us and I'm sure many others. Many of the families and businesses that we've helped did not have another option for financing. Maybe their credit was not doing so well. Maybe they were new in business and they hadn't cleared that three-year mark where we all can breathe a little bit easier and feel a little bit better about being in business. But thanks to companies like Y-Green that helped to provide this special financing, a lot of our customers were able to get solar power and get LED lighting in businesses and homes. And I really don't see any other way that would have happened for a lot of the people that we've helped. So today I'm here just to give our thoughts on Town and Country, which is the market that's located here on Manning Avenue. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. Town and Country installed solar about 7-8 years ago, and they did a little bit, and they wanted to be a leader in the community, and they wanted to be responsible and do their best to save money, energy, and reduce their carbon footprint. And today the technology has come a long ways, and Town and Country has an opportunity to completely wipe out their electric usage through the utilities. So that's our thoughts today. We really hope that the town of Reedley and the city of Reedley will support Town and Country and many of the other businesses like it, and give these guys an opportunity to take advantage of something that, you know, a lot of the bigger corporations like Adobe Software are doing. And why not bring it to Reedley? Why not be cutting edge? Why not? Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Jason, very much. Any other public comment?
While she's coming to the dais, in case there is a little bit of confusion out here, the council did approve PACE financing mechanisms roughly a year ago. Wygreen falls under a slightly different law, and that will be coming to the council. The staff plans to bring that forward probably October 13th to determine whether council would like to do that. So that is, I believe, why you see Wygreen and its supporters here tonight.
Okay,
so
good. Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you. Good evening, Mayor, council members, and representatives of the city of Reedley. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you. My name is Tina Price, and I represent Wygreen Energy Fund. For your reference, our name Wygreen is the word energy spelled backwards. Wygreen Energy Fund is the nation's largest commercial PACE provider. And if anyone is unfamiliar with the acronyms, PACE stands for Property Assessed Clean Energy. PACE financing has no credit score or debt ratio criteria. PACE is an equity-based financing for renewable energy, energy savings, and water conservation projects. As you know, Governor Brown's water conservation mandate started June 1st. Wygreen's funding of gray water recycling systems, low-flow irrigation, and drought-tolerant landscaping has been a valuable asset to many communities. Gray water recycling systems have significant potential to assist in water conservation efforts. Gray water is gently used water from sinks, showers, bathtubs, and washing machines. Think of how much water is wasted waiting for your sink or shower to warm up. This is a significant amount of water. If there is no concern for local groundwater reservoirs, gray water recycling systems are a powerful solution for your energy and water conservation needs. Energy efficient roofing, energy efficient windows, energy efficient HVAC systems, solar systems, and gray water recycling systems are simply a few of the thousands of potential projects that could be funded by Wygreen Energy Fund. Please note there is no demographic that is unsuitable for PACE financing. With our tax deductibility advantages, many customers who would normally pay cash would use Wygreen's 100% financing and reduce their overall net project costs. Commercial property owners place tremendous value on Wygreen's financing model, essentially off-ledger nature. No liens are recorded against the business or personal credit reports, and no bulk assessment liens are recorded against the property. Wygreen's financing model provides significant benefits to all property owners in every jurisdiction. Since repayment of PACE financing is made through property taxes, Wygreen needs your approval to conduct business and assist property owners within the city of Reedley. The city has no costs, no liability, and there is no ongoing staff time required. The benefits to the city of Reedley is economic stimulus from local job creation, local spending on goods and services, and increased revenue from permits, lien recordation, and property tax assessments. Allowing Wygreen to assist your property owners is in alignment with your climate action plan and sustainability goals. As a proud partner of the League of California of Cities, we ask for your consideration in approving Wygreen Energy Fund for the benefit of the property owners and the city of Reedley. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Will this come back to us?
The 13th of October.
13th, okay.
Yep.
Any other public comment, please? Seeing none, going to the notice of the public. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under the consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove an item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change a recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinance, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any council member wish to remove an item?
Mayor, I'd like to remove item number 5, and I need to excuse myself from that vote because I own a property in that on that list.
Okay. Sounds good. Any other council member?
I'm sorry. Can I clarify? Are you just removing yourself from the vote, or did you actually want the council to consider that item individually from the consent?
I just need to remove myself from the vote of that
item. Not pull the item, but just recuse yourself from the vote?
Correct.
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So that item number... could I motion on the rest of the agenda?
And in fact, the entire agenda can then be, unless anybody else wanted to hear that item, that in, the entire consent agenda can be approved under one motion, and we will record Ms. Fast's vote.
If we include it all like that, then she's voting against it.
No, we will be marking her as an abstention.
Abstention.
For that item.
Voting for that item.
For that item?
Or we can do them two separate.
You see, I think it's cleaner that way.
Two separate. All right.
It's cleaner that way.
All right, so...
Make a motion to approve items number 4 and 6.
Okay.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and second. Is there any public comment on this item, on these two items? Seeing none, call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Going back to item number 6.
Okay.
Number 5. I'm looking at the wrong number here. Second reading of adoption of ordinance 2015-006, approving the change of zone application number 2015-1, the citywide change of zone program and authorization to amend the official zoning map of the city of Reedley. Community Development, Mr. Fabino.
Then I need to excuse myself if we're going to have discussion.
Well, right? and the person who abstains generally can't pull it, which is why we were going to do it all at one vote. But that's okay. But you, if we're going to consider it, then yes, I do need you to remove yourself from that. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Darn Robert's Rules of Order.
No problem. That's why we're here. How can I help you this evening? Do you have any questions related to the matter?
Well, the person that... pulled it, left the room. So if any other council member have any questions on item number 5? I don't think we have any. All right, so.
Thank you.
Would I hear a motion on this one?
A motion.
Excuse me. Could I have any public comment on this item? Seeing none?
Hold motion.
Been moved? Do I hear a second? I'll second it.
Second.
I'm moving second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can we call her back? Next item is public hearing ordinance. With respect to approval of ordinance, the reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive a reading of a complete ordinance, and unless there is a request of the council member that the ordinance be read in full, further reading of the ordinance shall be deemed waived by unanimous consent of the council. So going into public hearing, item number 7. Introduction and first reading of ordinance number 2015-008, amending Title 8, Section 10, 11, and 12 of Chapter 5 of Reedley Municipal Code pertaining to urban stormwater quality management, public works, Mr. Robertson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Uh-huh. Good evening, City Council and Mayor. Staff brings before you tonight the introduction and first reading of ordinance 2015-008. Amending Title 8, Sections 10, 11, and 12
of Chapter 5 of the Reedley Municipal Code pertaining to urban stormwater quality management. A large percentage of the city's stormwater system collects stormwater and ultimately discharges that stormwater into the Kings River. Cities that have stormwater discharges that go into a regulated body of water, such as in our case would be the Kings River, they are classified by the state as an MS4 city. In an effort to prevent pollutants from entering into the regulated body of water, such as the Kings River, the state has deemed that all MS4 cities must have a NPDES permit, which is a National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit, and then adhere to the requirements of that permit. The NPDES permit has a lot of requirements that we comply with every year. One of those requirements is that the city is responsible to do an annual stormwater report, which that report details our efforts and our adherence to the requirements of that permit. As I was leaving the office, I grabbed a copy of one of our reports. This is the one for 2011-12 fiscal year. So you can see that this is our annual stormwater permit for that year. So we do one of these every year. It's quite complex, and it involves a lot of staff time and effort. This year, one of our requirements is to update our stormwater quality management ordinance to include language that specifically relates to new construction projects. So there's really three little phases here that they wanted us to add. Phase one is define a regulated project. So what construction projects are going to have to adhere to stormwater quality requirements? The second is establish requirements for those projects. And third is establish post-construction stormwater management requirements. And you'll see that the language we proposed includes all of the necessary language to adhere to those requirements. This is the title page as it currently is in the Stormwater Quality Management Ordinance. In red are our proposed changes. These are the sections 10, 11, and 12 that are going to have additional language in order to comply with the requirements of the state. Section 10, you can see we are changing the title from post-construction to regulated projects. The titles of sections 11 and 12 will remain the same, but we will have additional language in those sections. I'm going to just go through the ordinance very briefly and quickly to kind of summarize. I know this is very interesting stuff, but I'm going to try to go through it as quickly as I can. So first we have to define what is a regulated project. Regulated projects include all new development or redevelopment projects that create or replace more than 2,500 square feet of impervious surface. So impervious surface is a surface that water cannot pass through, such as concrete or asphalt or even rooftops, and lie within the stormwater service area that currently drains to the Kings River. So that's important that we defined what those parameters are, lie within the area that currently drains to the Kings River. Examples of regulated projects, of course, there's housing and commercial development projects, but it also includes resurfacing projects if you're upgrading from dirt to asphalt, because dirt is a surface that water can pass through, asphalt is not, and also upgrading from gravel to asphalt or concrete. So what is not a regulated project? Well, anything to do with maintenance is not a regulated project. You can see road and parking lot maintenance, overlaying existing asphalt, shoulder grading, cleaning and repairing drainage systems. That is not a regulated project. It's primarily new construction. So now we have an idea of what regulated projects are. We had to put in place some requirements for those regulated projects. So projects that create or replace more than 2,500 square feet of impervious surface and are located within the stormwater service area that drains to the Kings River must follow runoff reduction practices. And those include really common sense types of things: limit disturbance of creeks and natural drainage features, minimize compaction of highly permeable soils. I can relate to that one. I live in a subdivision here in Reedley, and I think when they built the subdivision, they compacted the whole block at one time. And when I try to plant a tree in my front yard, I have to have a chisel and a pick. The ground is so hard in my front yard. So that is one of these requirements that just compact where you need to. You know, in the lawn where water can percolate through, let's minimize compaction in those areas. Limit clearing and grading of native vegetation at the site to minimum area needed to build the project. Minimize stormwater runoff by implementing one or more of the following site design measures. So the site design measures are really simple. They include directing roof runoff into rain barrels or cisterns, directing roof runoff into vegetated areas, runoff from sidewalks into vegetated areas, from driveways into vegetated areas, and all of these are currently listed in the building code. So there's a little bit of redundant language in here, but it just reinforces that we want rain gutters to go into your landscaped areas and not just to hit your driveway and go out into the street. Performance requirement number two, water quality treatment. This is a tricky one. It will require sampling and analysis for sediment, silt, or turbidity. That is required when the runoff from a construction site discharges directly into the Kings River. So it doesn't even go into a stormwater pipe to the Kings River. This would be one of those rare projects that might be on the riverbank or on the river bluff, in which part of the project could just go off the bank into the Kings River. So I know those are rare, but we had to have language in there that requires sampling for that water that could potentially discharge directly into the river. Performance requirement number three, and as we go through the requirements, you'll see that the square feet of the project, so the projects essentially are getting bigger, that have to adhere to the additional requirements. So projects that create and or replace 15,000 square feet of impervious surface, and again are within the stormwater service area that drains to the Kings River, are required to meet runoff retention performance standards using low impact development principles and practices. Again, that would be subject to the approval by the city. Staff will be bringing forward to council in the next month or so some low impact development standards for you to review. And those will be standards that would be utilized in large projects like this, such as possible bioswales or that type of thing that help retain the water on site and not allow the water to just run off into the storm drain system. Number four, peak management. I don't know why we really had to have this language in there, but we did. Just saying that projects that are larger than 22,500 square feet, and I put the 22,500 in bold red because that is a typo in your city council agenda. It says 2,500. Mm-hmm. It should read more than 22,500. And Sylvia's going to pass out that correction. Thank you, Sylvia. So a large project over 22,500 square feet, this simply says they have to adhere to all of the requirements mentioned in the section that we've just discussed. Special circumstances, as you know, there will come that project that none of these performance standards make sense, and or they would be ineffective, and they just are not right for the project. And so this basically says that projects with that type of scope of work, that it wouldn't make sense to enforce these standards, wouldn't have to. They would then have to go to alternative compliance. And alternative compliance can be, maybe they do a developer fee in lieu arrangement with the city, such as, you know, these standards don't make sense, but it would make sense to have a regional stormwater basin, and we, you know, our project would contribute financially toward the eventual construction of that stormwater basin. That could be a arrangement that the city could make with a developer should the performance standards not make sense for that development. Mm-hmm. Post-construction, this primary objective of this paragraph here is to make sure that after the project is built, the owners or operators will provide long-term maintenance and operation of the of what they built, whether it's a retention basin, a bioswale. The property owner that built that would agree to provide long-term maintenance to that. Cleanup and notification. This is language that as soon as a property owner is aware of a possible pollutant that enters into the storm drain system, this is the steps they have to take. Obviously, cleanup is necessary. Then these are some steps on how to notify the city appropriately of such discharge. And lastly, authority to inspect. We did have to add language that gives the city authority to inspect the construction projects, and this includes public works staff to allow them access to the premises to be able to inspect and take photographs or other activities as needed to make sure that the project is in compliance with the requirements. So I know I went through that quickly, but I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions from staff?
I have a question.
Yes.
Mayor? I had a question. What area is included in this type of thing that we're doing that actually the runoff is going into the Kings River?
You know, it is primarily the area through the heart of the city. The outlying newer developments have their own ponding basins. We are working slowly but surely, as the city can afford to do so. Mr. Fabino is working on a great project right now with the Triangle Ponding Basin that's going to go on the south side of town, and ultimately we will be diverting some of that water that's going to the Kings River into that basin. So it is primarily, I would say, the older areas of town, probably older than, don't hold me to this, but maybe older than 1980, homes constructed before 1980, probably run, or businesses, all of downtown area run to the Kings River.
So kind of the central square.
Correct.
Is kind of what you're...
Yes, and a little bit to the north, out by Reedley College and some of that subdivision by the Redeemer's Church, it also runs to the rivers.
Then. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's automatic then, that the way that system is designed, when you're saying that area, the water flow out into the river.
It does.
Now, as we look forward to El Nino, you mentioned the ponding basins that we have, like Camacho Park, Citizens Park, and some other ones that are built throughout the city of Reedley. And I had a conversation with our city manager on this, but just for clarity, so when we do get our rain, that water and these other areas that we're not talking about that feed directly into the Kings River, we're going to be able to collect that water.
Correct.
In our basins.
Yes.
Okay. And until we feel, hopefully we get to that point where we feel capacity, so now we have a system where now it starts draining it into the river?
With those ponding basins in question, such as Camacho Park, for example, if it reaches capacity rather than overflow, we have a gate that opens it up into the Alta Irrigation District ditch system.
So same thing with like Citizens, because
Citizens does as well.
Okay.
Yes.
So the issue with El Nino is obviously that we'll retain as much water as we can so that it'll percolate and recharge into the ground, into the aquifer. The river itself, though, is a great recharger of water for our aquifer. So we will still benefit from El Nino waters even if they go into the Kings River. Obviously, the long-term goal for all of us, including the Kings River Conservation District, is to intercept the water before it hits the Kings. They don't like seeing water go into the Kings, mm-hmm. although granted, I'll tell you that communities downstream like the fact that we discharge water into the river. So the long-term goal is really that we will build more capacity for recharge, and like Kevin said, I'm sorry, like Russ said, Kevin is working with Alta on that. And in fact, Alta's looking at a much broader system for the east side through our groundwater service agency that we are creating to see if we can really maximize that. So unfortunately, will some of the water from El Nino, when it comes this year, because it will come this year, will it go into the river? Yes, but we'll still benefit from that.
I think it's important for community to understand that, how our system works, and if and so when it rains, how much we'll really be able to, again, collect in our ponding basins and other areas that have been designed for that purpose. And also understanding that there is a segment of our community that's like downtown, like you're saying, these buildings are very old, so the system that was designed is feeding directly into the Kings River. But for people to understand that, because I think Nicole brings up a good point too. It's like when we retain water and it percolates, you know, it gets into our ground system, you know, that's what, mm-hmm. you know, we all want too, because it'd be bad if we were just and getting rid of it, and no way would we benefit from it. But I think, and the reason I say that is because there is, as you know, Russ, that there is an interest group out there, and there's people that ask these type of questions. And I did share this again with our city manager that this past weekend, as I went to get my coffee at Starbucks, I got pulled over by a group of men, and they were saying, okay, what happens? And some of those questions I could answer, and some of them I couldn't, which you brought some clarification this evening. But I think it's pertinent that they understand that, conceptually understand how it works. So how we do that, you guys always do a good job of communicating that through whatever communication systems we have, but for people to understand that. And because I think, what is it, at 95% now, they're sure that we're going to get some heavy water. You know, so keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But again, for people to understand that we do, because I think one of the things that the city has done, and not just in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, but over a long period of time, they've put some good design in this community as far as for ponding basin and also with the infrastructure that we've done with our sewage and water and so forth. So I believe that probably Reedley is probably one of the most advanced communities, you know, our size. And so for people to understand that, I think it becomes critical. So how we do it, like I said, is I'll leave it up to the experts. You guys know how to do that. Thank you.
Any other council questions? Well, Russ, going through this, and especially the Section 3 and inspections, the last paragraph, C, and hopefully it never comes to that point for access refusal, you know, that hopefully that the public understands that this is a mandate from the state of California.
Right.
So, and if, you know, if there's a refusal, you have the authority to get a warrant from a judge or, what is it, a judicial officer, Fresno County.
So and we've never had an issue with that, I hope.
Hopefully we understand what we're having to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, thank you. Any other questions of staff? See none. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a public hearing. Is there any public comment on this item? See none. Close the public hearing and go back to the council for their wishes.
So move.
Second.
They moved in second.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes. Going into item number 8, adopt resolution number 2015-093, authorizing submittal of a community development block grant application for program year 2016-2017. Community Development Engineering, Mr. Robinson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. Item 8 before you tonight is the public hearing regarding the proposed project 2016-17 Community Development Block Grant Project, or CDBG program, and also approving resolution number 215-093, designating the subject project as the city's project to go before the grant and allow the application to be submitted to the county to be filed with the county for approval. Per CDBG requirements, every year the city holds a public hearing for the following year's project to obtain input from the general public and also to approve the resolution to move the project forward in the process and as required by the process. As discussed in the staff report before you, the 2016-17 project is the reconstruction of North Avenue roadway between Frankwood and the intersection up to the intersection of 11th and East Avenues. We'll also be upgrading any handicap ramps that are within that area, and we'll be maintaining the in-pavement lighting system that's currently there to feed over to the Lincoln Elementary School that will be preserved. The total cost of the project is estimated to be $360,000. The city will combine the CDBG funds, which is $235,000, with vehicle impact fee funds to make up the difference to the $360,000. We expect the project to go out in the spring of the spring or summer of 2016 and 17. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have about this project or the program in general.
Okay. Any questions of staff?
Just out of curiosity, why from Frankwood to 11th? Why only that section and not further west?
In my observation, looking at the roadway, that was the worst section of North Avenue, was from Frankwood to the east. To the west, it's in better condition. We did have limited funds, so I tried to use as much of the funds as I could. We get so much from CDBG, and I had to add a little bit from the vehicle impact to try to accommodate just the section from Frankwood to East.
So if
the
we,
section from just real brief, the section from East Avenue from Reed over to G. I'm sorry, 10th right? No, G. G. It will be done with the Reed Avenue project, which is going in the spring.
Oh, okay.
So there'll be that section in front of the school and the football field. It's probably in the best condition of North Avenue that I've seen so far.
But had we had sufficient funding, we would have been doing that whole strip.
We right? could have gone farther, yes.
Yeah, maybe all the way to front of the high school.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that would include the sidewalk there at Lincoln School? It'll be
This is just strictly a roadway rehab project. But we will be upgrading the curb ramps.
Because there's the driveway into the school. It's really bad. It's cracked there.
Okay.
I've seen a couple of kids almost, you know, they're running and trip on that. It's a driveway right into to okay. get into the school. It's really bad.
We'll look at that, and if it definitely needs to be improved to an upgraded to a new standard, we would include that with the project.
When you say handicap, Mr. Allen, it's like
the curb returns at the corners. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you have five of them that are going in. I believe this.
Some were updated with the Frankwood project,
mm-hmm.
right there at Frankwood and yeah. North. So probably closer to the school and then right at the
right.
intersection of with East Avenue and 11th.
Right. I think the paper map shows the five areas that you'll be putting
yeah.
in. And that's great. I think that's overdue, really overdue. There's going to be a lot of people that are happy, especially the ones that go to the donut shop with coffee in their car. They don't have to spill it now.
The police especially requested that one to be done exactly for that reason.
May I have one question?
Yes.
We have it in the room, not
come. John, I have a question. You're talking about rehab. Are we going to go down
reconstruction
low cut out?
Reconstruction. We're going to be going down and
okay,
if there
good,
are
because
seven,
I was going to say I don't think you put any kind of overlay on that particular
no,
area.
If there are any sub-base issues, which from the cracking and other things that I'm observing in the ruts in the road, there's
yeah.
some sub-base
that
issues.
That was my concern, that we actually rebed that.
Yeah.
The same thing as Stanley Avenue.
Same thing that we did at Stanley.
Right.
Yes.
So is that project simultaneous with the Reed Avenue?
Or we'll be done.
Is that first or after?
Reed Avenue will be done in the spring, summertime of next year. This project would occur probably a little bit after that, probably in the fall. I'll try to get it done before school if we can. It just has the process as we move it through the CDBG program.
That's my reason for asking that question, because of the traffic. I mean, the usage right there, not only folks that are dropping off their kids at that particular school and how busy that donut shop gets, but it's all the walkers, all the high school walkers. And when you have a construction project going on right in the in August when school starts, it's a mess for those kids,
yeah.
for everyone. So
I've just got to confirm what the CDBG program that the county has and their process that it takes to go through things is to make sure that we could make it and have it done before school starts in the fall of 2016.
Yeah, I was going to say, now, can once that protocol, that process takes place, can the city kind of dictate when we want to?
Yes, once I receive the approval, if I received approval in the fall of 16, I could do it the next opportunity, which would be your first part of the summer of the 17.
Okay.
Yeah, because I thought they did a real good job, a lot of the construction work that was done on Frankwood during the time the school wasn't on.
And that's what we're trying to do with the Reed Avenue project also, is to do it during the summertime so that we do it and it doesn't impact the high school and also the college.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Seeing none, ladies and gentlemen, this is a public hearing. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing, go back to the council for their wishes.
So moved to approve.
Been moved.
Right.
Been moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Rodriguez.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Fast.
Yes.
Mayor Cellino.
Yes. Going into item number 9, administrative business. Authorize city manager to execute all documents necessary to purchase and provide a Medicare supplement plan for the 2016 plan year for eligible City of Reedley retirees and dependents. Administrative service, Mr. Malikian.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. This item before you this evening is a request to authorize city manager to execute documents that would enable the city to transfer or change to a new group sponsor Medicare supplement plan. The city currently offers a Medicare supplement plan to eligible retirees and their dependents, and this Medicare supplement plan is for those folks who are post 65. So they're Medicare eligible. This is a supplement plan that wraps around the supplement coverage, and the city's had its group sponsored plan through a company called Humana for the last two plan years, 2014 and the current plan year 2015. However, the plan is not available for 2016 due to an ongoing contract dispute between Humana and the area doctors that are represented by Sante Community Physicians. This has been in the news media a little bit, but as of today, there's no resolution to that contract dispute. So if we were to take no action, we'd be in a bad place starting in January 2016. So staff has worked with our broker of record, which is Horseman Financial and Insurance Services, and to identify our renewal options going into the 2016 plan year. The goal the entire time was to try to find plans and options that would allow as many of our covered folks to keep their current doctors as possible, because if you talk to people who are covered, that's one of their primary concerns, is being able to keep their current doctor. The plans that we're showing tonight are attached to your staff report. It shows the current plan through Humana, as well as option 1, 2, and 3. There were several more options that were identified by the diligent work of Kathy Sunday and Kathy Hubert. However, the majority of those plans would have resulted in a 28 to 37% increase over 1 year in the premiums. And the city's adopted budget simply can't sustain that level of a percentage of increase. The city did budget for an increase in premiums system-wide, so for current employees as well as the retirees. Oh, we did budget for a premium increase. However, 28 to 37% is just a huge jump. And we feel that the options that are before the council tonight do a really good job of balancing our available resources with a quality plan that's in some cases going to improve the coverage to the people who are covered by it. There are certain improvements to the plan that I'll just mention briefly. It actually reduces the maximum out of pocket from $2,500 under our current plan to actually dropping it to $2,000 under the recommended plan through Hartford. It puts a cap on out-of-pocket specialty drugs at $70 instead of the current percentage-based. And for the specialty drugs, those can get pretty expensive. And most importantly, the renewal actually increases the available physician and hospital network. And that one was a big one. So the recommended plan through Hartford and Express Scripts would result in a almost 9.5% increase. It's not the cheapest option that's available to the city, and it's a kind of a cheap word to use, cheapest, but we wanted to make sure that we showed the full hand as far as what was available. And in the attached summary, it does show that options 1 and 3 are actually a lower increase. However, the prescription drug coverage, especially on option one, is not as good. So we're actually recommending that we go with option two, even though it's a little bit more pricey. It balances the available resources with a good prescription drug coverage for the retirees. So with that said, I'd like to offer Kathy Sunday, Kathy Hubert. They're here this evening specifically to answer any questions about the plans, to talk about the process they used. They did a lot of work. I don't want to underestimate how much work these two ladies did to go out there and scour the entire market for what was available. They knew how important this was to the management, and so they've done a really good job. With that said, I'd like to invite them up to speak if they'd like to.
Thank you, Paul. I'm Kathy Hubert. This is Kathy Sunday, and thank you for having us here tonight. As Paul mentioned, I think the biggest frustration we're having, one of the frustrations we're having right now, is provider networks and Sante's ability to negotiate with those providers, and that's what Humana ran into. And that was a great disappointment to us, but it's kind of the nature of what we're facing today in healthcare. And we're seeing it all across the board. It doesn't really matter, you know, what plan or who you're insured through. And so we did go out in the marketplace. We looked at all types of plans. We looked at all types of plan designs. But our big concern was making sure that all your doctors and maybe in a broader doctor list was available. Plus, Kathy and I really didn't want to see us maybe getting into a situation where we could have the doctors taken away again, and we feel that this may be a more secure situation that we're putting ourselves in as far as the provider list goes. We also were concerned about the specialty medication. That can be really, really expensive if you're doing any of your injectable drugs, anything from cancer treatments to arthritis to diabetics. Those percentages get to be really high. So we feel we have improved the benefits for the city and for the retirees, and we think that it should be an easy transition for everyone. I say easy, you know, it should be a smooth transition. Nothing's ever, you know, without a few hiccups here and there, but we are there to assist, and we would be there to help anybody with any medications or anything else that they would have to be transferred. That's usually the biggest thing we see is as a difficulty is getting prescriptions transferred over. Kathy?
I don't know if you have any questions about the benefits. As Kathy mentioned, this would allow people freedom of choice to see a provider. There's not a network like there was under the Humana, so we're not going to have to worry about losing physicians' networks. So
you could go to St. Agnes, you can
go to community, you can go to local providers here.
San Francisco.
And this is a Medicare supplement with a prescription drug Part D program. Versus the Medicare Advantage right now, which is more of an HMO-style benefit. So there is, you know, that is really the difference in why we have the freedom of more providers under this new program.
But there is no donut hole that you're going to get caught in.
Right. So in the private marketplace, if you purchase a Medicare Part D, there is a donut hole where the retiree would have a reduction in benefits or a higher copay, if you will, for their prescription until they get out of that donut hole. Sometimes it's called the gap. Mm-hmm. In 2016, it starts after $3,310 in prescription, and once you get to $4,850, then you're out of the donut hole, which may seem high, but the way the prescription cost is going, especially this year and last year, we're seeing significant increases in everyone's prescription programs because the cost of drugs are escalating month by month.
But this gives you full coverage to avoid that. Yeah. Yes.
You know, one of the things... Oh,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say one of the things that there was a problem the last time was that some of these individuals couldn't keep their doctors.
Correct.
Now, under this program, they will be able to keep them.
Yes.
That's correct.
And I think they'll have a big smile on their face if we can.
Yes.
All right. That's good.
That was my question was, is Sante physicians covered under this program?
Yes.
Correct.
because I went on and tried to look it up, and I couldn't make a connection, and
yes.
I don't think I was looking under the right policy.
Yes.
That was our biggest concern, was have to change
yeah.
doctors again. And
no, they'll be changing the doctors.
This is a Medicare supplement, so if the doctor's accepting Medicare, then you have access to him. There's no actually network of doctors, so that's why we don't have to worry about losing.
Good.
Yes, and so we don't. So if Santé decides to make a change, you don't have to worry about, you know, who they're contracting with.
So it's an open provider network, is
correct.
What you're saying,
right.
as
correct.
A secondary.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I had a question on the, speaking of the prescription section, on option one, it said 33%. On the specialty drugs, and on option two, it said 70% or $70, not 70%. I'm sorry. So the specialty drugs in option one, really, that's the only difference between these two plans.
Correct.
So that would be 33% up to the $22,000, or does
no,
that not?
So the
out of pocket.
So the medication is not included in
not
the out
included.
Of pocket. It's actually
okay.
a separate. So there's no cap on that percentage.
So that's why we were concerned
oh,
about
okay.
that 33%. That could be if you have a, you know,
yes.
we see right now we're seeing drugs come through our office that are $10,000 a month.
Yeah, I know.
And so, you know, yeah. it's not unusual anymore.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have. I just want to say thank you very, very much, because it's what's nice about being in a small community and knowing we really appreciate what you've done for us. And this is real complicated, and somebody could get really nervous. And
yeah.
it is, you know,
yeah,
and to know
decision.
That we have people like you that's your job, I know, but still you go way beyond.
Thank
what's
you.
Called
thank you
for,
so
and
much.
I just want you to know I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And as we said, you know, we're sorry this transition has to happen,
uh-huh.
but we'll make it as seamless
no,
as possible.
No. You have. You have.
Yeah,
so.
But you'll be here to help us dot our I's and cross our T's. So.
Yes. Yes. We'll be right here to do all that. Fill in any app or whatever we need to do.
If I could,
yes.
counsel, I do want to make sure that we are really clear that the council does have the authority to make this change. Previous to the change you made 18 months ago or so,
2013.
Yeah, 2013, we had the CalPERS medical plan for retirees, and that did not allow us, everything was done at the CalPERS level, and that's why we were seeing increases like 30% premium increases per year, ridiculous premium increases. I want to be abundantly clear that the prices you see at the bottom of this are just for the post-65 retirees. In our retiree health care plan, we do have under-65s. So the amount you see there in option two, which is $132,000 annually, that is not the entire cost for our retiree medical benefit plan. Now, Paul and we call them the Kathys, I'm sorry, but Paul and the Kathys do an incredible, I don't even want to know what they call me, actually. So they do an incredible job of maintaining control of that cost so that it doesn't escalate out of control. And Mr. Rodriguez and I had a great conversation yesterday about the fact that we are one of the few cities that continues to offer this benefit to our retirees because we value the service they have given to this community. It's incredibly important, though, that we monitor those costs and then we keep them controlled so that we still have the service we can provide to those retirees, but that we don't get to a place where that liability becomes so burdensome that we have to not provide it, period. And that's what we've seen in other cities, whereas in like San Bernardino, where they tried to provide so much to everybody, they overtaxed the system, so to speak. They had to file bankruptcy, and everybody ended up with nothing. Rather than everybody having something. So right now, I would say our cost is about $250,000 a year, maybe a little bit higher because we're looking at this nine point something percent increase. So I just want to be clear that it does cost us more than the 132, but at this point, we think the higher increase plan is important because of those prescriptions. It would be incredibly hard to have seniors who have been on plans covered by the city for we have some that are literally been on plans for decades with us, to all of a sudden ask them to pick up drugs that could be upwards of $10,000 a month and to pay a percent of that. So we are not going with the cheapest plan here.
We're not even going with the second cheapest. We're actually going with one that will cost the city some, but we think it is relevant. However, I want to assure you that Paul has done a yeoman's job of making sure that we can control these costs and keep them in check.
Yeah, so so just to kind of reiterate, it's a quality plan, and to balance out on the financial side, we had planned for a roughly 9 to 10% increase in premiums overall throughout the city, and this is 9.5%, so there's no additional appropriations out of this year's budget. It's fully covered.
May I make a comment?
Okay, yes.
I'd just like to say thank you, Kathy and Kathy, both of you. Having that connection to Reedley, and you know, this is a local community issue, in my opinion, because most of our retirees live in Reedley, and you live in Reedley, and we appreciate your efforts, and that's really key when we hire an insurance agency, that we hire somebody who's going to do those extra steps. And I see these folks doing that year after year, and from private industry, I get to do the insurance for health insurance on my side, and I know how important that is, and I just wanted to say thank you.
I do want to mention that we just recently, every year through, you know, United Benefit Advisors, we do a survey. We put all of our groups and the city's information into a national survey. And Kathy and I just recently took the survey and asked it to crunch the numbers down to compare your benefits to nationally to all the other UVA groups. There are 140 of us, the top employee benefit firms in the United States, to see how they compared nationally, how our cost compares, how the benefits compare. And it was really very interesting. Not only are the benefits better than a lot of the other cities, but our cost is substantially lower. I think the average cost was $485 for the Medicare supplement plans. And so our cost is very much in line.
I had a heart attack.
And yeah, we did not use that as our benchmark. And but it was very interesting, and it's that kind of information that really helps us, you know, keep all of you on top. And I think one of the other things we did learn is what I think Paul and Nicole mentioned is that we are so fortunate in the city to be able to have retiree benefits, because I think it was down to, what was it, Kathy, 6 or 7% of retiree benefits are offered anymore. And so it's really a dwindling number. So anyway, thank you, and we really appreciate being able to provide the services to all of you, too. Thank you.
Any other questions, staff?
Just, you know, just the conversation I have with our city manager, and I want to expound on that, is that our city, you know, as you said, you use San Bernardino as an example. I think Chowchilla was in that same boat at one time. But those benefits that are continuing to be, you know, covered for our retirees and so forth, that only happens and that only comes about because you have good stewards, you know, with staff. And you know, with people that run the city, as well as people that sit up here on this dais, you know, making decisions. Because there is wording in there where at any given time, as you pointed out, we get in behind the eight ball and we can't afford, you know, some things that the city or the council has, you know, they're empowered to, you know, stop those benefits. We would never want to do that. Right. Never. But there could come a time where we could be, you know, so tight that we could be called on it. But, and I don't think that'll happen. And again, my point is that the reason we continue to offer these benefits and not like some other cities is because we've had good stewards, you know, people managing our budget and decisions that we make as a leadership team. And I can, you know, the almost three years that I've been here, I can, you know, just commend, you know, Paul and his staff and Nicole's leadership continuing to look at ways of how we can continue to, you know, honor our employees and respect what they've done for this city and so forth. And I hope that, you know, continues. And then again, echoing what my colleague said, is the work that you folks have done in being transparent with us and bringing to the table what's critical, what's important, and making the best decision. And Councilman Beck pointed it out, one of the issues last time is like people losing, you know, that doctor. I think, man, that not only did that make people nervous, it was nerve-wracking, you know, and people were upset. And so being able to accomplish that is you know, it's just tremendous. So I want to thank you for that.
Okay. No other questions. Is there any public comment on this item? Yes, sir. Could you please come to the podium, please?
And, sir, the only reason we make you come to the podium is it's recorded, so.
Getting over a broken hip, so it's kind of slow. And I will say one thing. Humana took good care of me and community medical providers. Community hospital, I didn't know anything. The nursing home where I did my rehab, I wound up getting billed $18 for three prescriptions of narcotics and stuff that I was on, my diabetic medicine, for my whole stay there. And of course, the rehab and going back to the doctor, the $20 copay every week was getting expensive for twice a week. But I would like to thank the city council for keeping the insurance going, and it sounds like the Cathys have done a real great job. What I really wanted to know was, has it got another name besides Hartford? I have a list from my doctors of everything they accept, and it doesn't say anything about Hartford.
Okay, so let me clarify that it's a Medicare supplement. So Medicare will pay first,
right,
and then Hartford will pay second, and they're picking up the portion that the Medicare doesn't pay.
And it's under Hartford.
It's under Hartford insures it, but it's part of a benefit trust because it's a group policy. So your doctor will take it.
So it doesn't have a regular, like, Medicare Advantage or?
No, it's just a true Medicare supplement.
Okay. That's what I wanted. Do we get a copy of that?
Not tonight, but we'll be giving you all
okay.
the information.
Okay. That answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on this item? Thank you, ladies, and Paul, thank you very much. I close the public hearing and turn it over to the council.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the option number 2 for the Medicare supplemental plan for this upcoming 2016 plan year beginning in January, and authorizing our city manager to execute those documents.
Great. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and second. Call for the question.
Council Member Fast.
Yes.
Council Member Beck.
Yes.
Council Member Betancourt.
Yes.
Council Member Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mayor Salino.
Yes. Going into item number 10 and 11, those are only information and reports for City Council that are not voted upon. Let's go into council reports, starting with Mr. Rodriguez.
Three things. I had the opportunity to attend the ribbon cutting for Adventist Health. We're talking insurance enough, but very nice event. I thought our city manager did an outstanding job in addressing our community and some of the folks that were being treated that day, actually. But it was a very nice event. And what's interesting is that, somebody correct me if I'm wrong on this, but they're open 7 days a week there, right? 7 days a week, that particular facility there on Manning and 11th. So just bringing an additional medical resource, you know, and doctors and so forth for our community, that speaks volumes, again, because of there's a lot of old folks, and we're headed in that direction. I'm going to catch up to Bob Beck pretty soon. We're headed in that direction.
You don't want to
drive out. You just don't want to drive out. And if you can have specialists here, you can have doctor groups here and so forth that can provide that service, I'll tell you, man, it's like it gets old driving to Fresno or to Clovis or what have you. But I can't say enough about Adventist Health, what they've done in the 4 or 5 years that they've been here. I mean, they're just in volumes. So Very nice ceremony. Also, had the opportunity to go to the Emmanuel Academy dedication of the tennis court. What a facility. Beautiful. Well, Mr. Beck was there too, and our city manager. But if that's not, in my mind, if that's not the top tennis facility, you know, high school facility in the valley, somebody show me where the top one is. I mean, it's a beautiful facility. And again, I'm really impressed with their superintendent. Is it Ryan Wood or Woods?
Wood.
I really gravitated to his philosophy. I think he's just the way he comes across, and when he gave the presentation to the council, but some of the same things that he mentioned there at the dedication.